Ever get the feeling like the world's running on code and we just don't quite get it? Well, today we're going deep on machine learning. You know, that mysterious force behind everything from like those Netflix recommendations to self-driving cars. It's everywhere.
It is. It really is. What's so fascinating to me is that instead of like needing rocket fuel or any of that stuff, machine learning runs on something. We've just got tons of,
Data.
data. You're talking zettabytes. I mean,
Zettabytes.
a number so big, it's practically meaningless.
Right.
But and alongside that explosion of data, the algorithms that can actually make sense of it have become incredibly sophisticated.
So it's like a gold rush, but the gold is data, and the prospectors are these super smart algorithms.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy.
Before we stake our claim though, let's define our terms here. What is machine learning?
Yeah, so at its heart, I think it's all about algorithms that find patterns in data and then learn from them. It's kind of like teaching a computer how to fish instead of giving it like a pre-caught one. You give it the data and it figures out how to make predictions, and it gets better over time with every new piece of information it gets.
Oh, so no more like hand coding every single rule. The algorithm learns on its own.
Exactly. And we can actually guide that learning in different ways. Think of it like two main approaches. There's supervised learning and unsupervised learning.
So supervised learning. I feel like that sounds like someone is like hovering over the algorithm's shoulder and just giving it constant feedback. Am I close there?
You're pretty spot on, actually. And in supervised learning, what we do is we give the algorithm labeled data. So each data point actually comes with a known outcome. You know, it's like if you're training a dog, you show it a picture, you say cat, and the dog learns to associate that picture with the label.
So it's all about like learning from these examples with clear
All
answers.
right.
What about unsupervised? Is that just letting the algorithm loose in this sea of data?
It's kind of more like giving the algorithm this giant map, but with no labels. And then saying, go find the interesting landmarks. It's all about uncovering hidden structures and relationships within the data itself.
So instead of like aiming for a specific answer, it's more about like discovering these underlying patterns.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And you might be surprised just how much of machine learning is already woven into your everyday life. So, I mean, imagine your car warning you about a potential breakdown before it happens. I mean, that's predictive maintenance, right? Using machine learning. Or think about companies using sentiment analysis to kind of gauge how customers react to their products based on all the chatter on social media.
We can't forget about image recognition either, right? From
Exactly.
like tagging friends on social media to those filters that, you know, could make you look 10 years younger.
Exactly. All powered by machine learning.
All powered by machine learning. Okay, so we've got this high-level view of what it is, why it matters. But how do we actually build these prediction machines? What are like the ingredients and the recipe?
Well, just like any good recipe, understanding your ingredients is key. And in machine learning, that means starting by deeply understanding the problem you're actually trying to solve, right? And the data that you have to work with. You can have the absolute best algorithm in the world, but if you feed it bad data, the results are going to be useless.
Yeah, garbage in, garbage out. So data is king. What happens next? How do we prep these ingredients for our machine learning feast?
This is where it gets really interesting. This is data preparation and feature engineering. It's fascinating. Data scientists spend something like 80% of their time just cleaning and preparing data because raw data is messy, and we need to transform it into something that the algorithm can understand and learn from effectively.
So it's like prepping veggies for a delicious meal. You're not just gonna toss a whole muddy potato into a stew.
Exactly. We need to clean and chop and maybe add some spices to create something truly tasty. So in data terms, this means things like handling missing values, like substituting an ingredient if if you're out of something.
Right.
Sometimes we need to encode categorical data.
Okay.
So that's like, you know, converting text labels into numbers that the algorithm can digest.
Okay. And I imagine just like with cooking, we need to adjust the like proportions of our ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Too much salt can just ruin the whole dish.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that all of our variables are kind of on a similar scale.
Okay.
That's called feature scaling. You know, it's like adjusting the volume of the different instruments in a band so that one doesn't overpower all the others.
So we've scrubbed our data, prepped it, and made sure everything is balanced.
Yeah.
What's the next step in our machine learning recipe? Are we ready to unleash the algorithm?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. Before we do, we need to split our data into training and testing sets.
Okay.
This is crucial for evaluating how well our model actually performs.
Why is that split so important?
Well, think of it like studying for a test.
Okay.
If you only practice the exact same problems over and over again, you know, you might ace those particular problems, but then you struggle when you see new ones on the actual exam.
So we're trying to avoid like the machine learning equivalent of cramming.
Exactly.
Where the model just memorizes the training data instead of actually learning the underlying patterns.
Exactly, yeah. So we train the model on one portion of the data and then test it on a completely separate portion.
Okay.
And that gives us a much more realistic picture of how well it's going to do out in the real world, you know, with new data.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that our data is prepped and ready, let's talk about some specific machine learning algorithms.
Okay.
I'm curious about decision trees. They sound fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
How do they actually make predictions?
So decision trees are really great for beginners because they're so easy to visualize and understand.
Okay.
Just imagine a flowchart. Yeah, it's like a choose your own adventure, but for data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say for example, we're trying to predict if someone's going to click on an ad.
Okay.
Right. We might ask, is this user even interested in this product category?
Right.
If yes, you go down one path. If no, we follow a different branch.
Yeah.
And each branch leads to further decisions until we reach the conclusion, which is click or no click.
And the cool thing is we can actually see the logic, like the decision-making process laid out in this tree.
Exactly. They're known for their interpretability, so it allows us to actually kind of peek into the algorithm's mind.
Okay, but there's always trade-offs.
Right, of course.
What are the downsides of decision trees?
Well, one thing is they can be prone to overfitting,
especially
if the tree becomes too complex.
Right.
And they can be a bit unstable as well.
Okay.
Meaning that small changes in the data can sometimes lead to drastically different trees.
So finding that right balance between simplicity and accuracy is key.
Absolutely. And sometimes we need to go beyond a single decision tree.
Right.
And harness the power of multiple models using what are called ensemble methods. Yeah.
It sounds like we're assembling like a superhero team of prediction experts.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about combining the outputs of multiple models to try to improve those predictions.
Okay.
You know, it's like getting a second or third opinion, you know, even a fourth.
Right.
Before making a big decision.
So we're tapping into the wisdom of the crowd, but the crowd is actually made up of machine learning models.
Exactly.
I like it. What are some of the most popular ensemble methods?
So one of the most well-known is called bagging.
Bagging.
Yeah. It's short for bootstrap aggregating.
Okay.
But basically, it's like we're training a bunch of different models,
right,
each with like a slightly different perspective on the data. And then we combine their predictions to get like a more robust and accurate result.
So it's like having a panel of experts,
yeah,
who each, you know, bring their own unique expertise to the table.
Precisely, yeah. And a classic example of bagging in action is random forest.
Random forest. Okay, that sounds intriguing. How does that one work?
So imagine like a forest of these decision trees.
Okay.
Each one trained on a random subset of the data.
Okay.
And using a random subset of features.
Okay.
And this randomness actually helps to create like a more diverse set of models,
right,
which then leads to better overall performance.
So it's all about like embracing randomness.
Yeah, in a way.
To create this stronger, more resilient forest of prediction power.
Exactly.
What other ensemble methods should we know about?
Another really powerful approach is called boosting.
Okay.
And in boosting, the models are trained sequentially,
okay,
with each one trying to correct the errors made by the ones before it. It's like having a team of detectives, and they're, you know, each one building on the clues that were discovered by the previous one.
Ah, so instead of like independent experts, we've got this chain of models that are learning from each other's like strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly. Yeah. And some popular boosting algorithms include things like AttaBoost,
okay,
gradient boosting, and XG Boost,
okay,
which is known for its speed and accuracy.
So we've got these powerful ensemble methods combining multiple models.
Yeah.
Don't we also need to like fine tune these models?
All right.
To kind of get the best performance?
You're absolutely right.
What about parameter tuning?
Yeah. So every machine learning algorithm has these parameters,
right,
that kind of control how it learns.
Okay.
You know, think of them like knobs and dials on a complex machine.
Okay.
And parameter tuning is all about finding the best settings for those parameters to really optimize the performance.
So it's like finding like that sweet spot, yeah, the perfect settings to make the algorithm hum.
Exactly, exactly. And one way to do this systematically is with a technique called grid search.
Okay.
Which basically explores different combinations of parameters.
Okay.
To see which one yields the best results.
So we're giving our algorithms like the best possible tools and training to succeed.
We are. And now, are you ready to venture into the realm of deep learning and neural networks?
Absolutely. This is the part I've been waiting for. Tell me everything about neural networks in this deep learning revolution that everybody's talking about.
Okay, so neural networks, I mean, they're really the rock stars of modern machine learning,
right,
achieving these incredible results in areas like image recognition,
yeah,
natural language processing,
right,
even playing complex games.
Yeah, they're almost mythical in their capabilities.
Yeah.
What makes neural networks so special? Are they actually modeled after the human brain?
You know, the brain analogy is a good starting point.
Okay.
Though neural networks aren't, you know, exact replicas,
right,
they consist of these interconnected nodes, which are called neurons,
okay,
organized in layers.
Okay.
And these layers process information kind of in a hierarchical way,
right,
with each layer learning increasingly abstract representations of the data.
So it's like having a team of specialists, each focusing on a different level of detail.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
How does a single neuron work?
So imagine a neuron as like this tiny calculator.
Okay.
Right? And it takes inputs from other neurons.
Okay.
Performs a simple calculation,
okay,
and then produces an output.
Right.
And the real magic lies in the connections between these neurons.
Okay.
Which have weights that determine like the strength of the signal.
So it's like this chain reaction of calculations, with each neuron contributing a small piece to the overall solution.
Yeah, that's a good way to visualize it.
And these weights play a crucial role in how the network learns, right?
You got it. So during training, the network adjusts these weights to try to minimize errors.
Right.
And improve its predictions. You know, it's kind of like fine-tuning a musical instrument to produce the perfect sound.
Right.
And this process is called backpropagation, which is one of the key innovations behind deep learning success.
Backpropagation, that sounds intense. Can you give us like a simple way to kind of understand how it works?
So imagine you're playing darts.
Okay.
Right. And you throw a dart and you miss.
Right.
You adjust your aim based on where the dart landed.
Right.
Backpropagation works in a similar way.
Okay.
The network calculates the error of its predictions.
Right.
And then uses that error signal to adjust the weights, and that improves its aim for the next prediction.
So it's like this constant feedback loop, helping the network learn from its mistakes.
Yeah.
When we talk about deep learning, we're referring to networks with many hidden layers, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Think of those layers like levels of expertise.
Okay.
And deeper networks can capture more complex relationships,
right,
and achieve higher levels of accuracy.
So it's like going from like a basic sketch,
yeah,
to a detailed masterpiece.
I like that. That's a great analogy.
What are the advantages of using these deep neural networks?
Well, one of the big ones is that they're capable of handling these incredibly complex data relationships.
Okay.
Plus, they require less hand-holding than some of the other algorithms,
right,
meaning that we don't need to manually engineer features as much.
So less prep work for the data chefs.
Exactly.
And I bet they love data. the more the better.
You're right. Neural networks thrive on data, and often their performance improves with more data, which is perfect for our data-rich world.
So they're adaptable, powerful, and data hungry.
Yeah.
Sounds like the perfect recipe for success.
It does.
But are there any downsides to this deep learning magic?
Well, one of the trade-offs is the computational cost.
Okay.
I mean, training these massive neural networks, it requires some serious computing power.
Yeah.
You know, specialized hardware like GPUs and tons of data.
Right.
So that can make them, you know, pretty resource intensive.
Yeah.
And sometimes even inaccessible for smaller projects.
So it's not just about having the right algorithms, it's also about like having the computing muscle to flex those algorithms.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess that's one of the reasons why deep learning has really taken off recently.
Yeah.
As computing power has become, you know, more affordable and accessible.
Absolutely. I mean, advances in hardware, especially the development of GPUs that are designed for this parallel processing,
right,
have been a major driver of the deep learning boom. And then cloud computing has made it easier than ever for researchers and developers to access these powerful computing resources,
right,
without having to, you know, break the bank.
So it's like having a virtual supercomputer at your fingertips.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's incredible. But before we get too lost in the technical weeds here,
yeah,
I want to bring it back to our listeners. What are some like practical takeaways they can apply to their own lives or work?
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in all the technical details, but I think the real magic of machine learning is in its applications.
Right.
And one key takeaway is that machine learning isn't confined to, you know, research labs anymore. I mean, it's everywhere. It's powering so many of the technologies that we use every day, and it's only going to become more prevalent in the years to come.
So it's not just this niche field for data scientists and engineers anymore.
Right.
It feels like, you know, everyone should have at least a basic understanding of machine learning.
I agree.
It's like knowing how to, you know, use a computer,
yeah,
or navigate the internet. It's becoming essential for navigating the modern world.
I totally agree. And another practical takeaway is that machine learning is this incredibly powerful tool for problem solving.
Okay.
So if you have a problem that involves analyzing data,
right,
there's a really good chance that machine learning can help you find solutions or insights that you might have otherwise missed.
It's like having a new set of lenses,
yeah,
to see the world through.
Yeah.
Revealing these patterns and connections that were previously hidden. But it's important to remember that machine learning isn't like a magic bullet, right?
Right.
It takes careful planning and data preparation.
Yeah.
And choosing the right model for the job.
Absolutely. I mean, the success of any machine learning project really hinges on the quality of the data.
Yeah.
And the skill of the people who are involved.
So garbage in, garbage out, like we said earlier. Now, I'm curious about the human side of things. We've talked a lot about the technical aspects, but what skills and qualities are really essential for someone who wants to work in this field?
You know, technical skills are definitely important, but they're really only part of the equation. I think curiosity,
okay,
creativity,
yeah,
and even a healthy dose of skepticism,
right,
are equally crucial.
So it's not just about being good at math and coding. Mm-hmm. It's about having a curious mind.
Yeah.
A passion for problem solving,
yeah,
and the ability to think critically about the data and the results.
Exactly. And machine learning is such a rapidly evolving field. So a willingness to learn and adapt is essential as well.
Okay.
It's also a highly collaborative field. So strong communication and teamwork skills are really vital.
It sounds like an exciting, challenging, and constantly evolving field.
It is.
And I'm sure many of our listeners are wondering, like, how can they get started? What advice would you give to someone who wants to dive into this world of machine learning?
You know, I think the best way to start is by building a strong foundation in the fundamentals.
Okay.
You know, focus on understanding those core concepts, experiment with different algorithms,
yeah,
and really get your hands dirty with real world data.
So it's all about like learning by doing.
Yeah.
Trying things out and not being afraid to make mistakes.
Absolutely. It's like learning to ride a bike.
Yeah.
You know, you can read all the manuals in the world, but you won't really learn until you you hop on and start pedaling.
Right, right.
And don't underestimate the power of community.
Okay.
You know, join online forums, attend conferences, contribute to open source projects.
Yeah.
Connecting with others in the field is really invaluable for sharing knowledge, getting inspiration.
Right. And finding support.
So find your tribe, you know, your fellow machine learning enthusiasts and learn from each other. I love that. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from the nuts and bolts of algorithms to the broader implications of machine learning on our world.
Yeah, it's been a true deep dive.
Yeah,
And I hope it sparked a curiosity in our listeners to learn more about this incredible field.
I know, I'm walking away feeling inspired and energized. Thank you for joining us on this journey of discovery. And to our listeners, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking questions. The world of machine learning is vast and full of possibilities. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to make the next groundbreaking discovery.